Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin Be'ez Hashem, Shalom Bayis Shir, number 522. And today we're going to discuss the in-law relationships. If in-law relationships are not handled properly, they can wreak havoc on marriages. So it's important to start off at the right foot. And once it already existed, and if there is that situation there, there needs to be steps taken to put it back on the right footing. Most young couples do have a pleasant relationship with their in-laws. There's so many unfortunate jokes and cynical situations with pertaining to in-laws. And indeed, there are situations where a wife or husband's family, their parents, are unhealthy people. And that requires a separate consideration. It's just like we always say when we talk about marriage shiurim, that we're talking about good people that have flaws, not people that have inherent deep abuse characteristics or addictions, where that goes into a separate realm. The same thing over here. If in-laws have a certain deep-rooted abuse or mental illness or addiction or real negative toxic patterns, that's not the discussion in this share. That requires a separate discussion. We're talking here about in-laws that are regular people, but they are flawed people like all of us. That's what we're talking about. And in that situation, in most situations where those are the types of people, which is like 90, Baruch Hashem, 90 plus percent, there is, for the most part, a mutual love and respect. Because parents are indeed pleased that their children are happily married. But there are some times where the parent has a difficulty separating from their child. But again, havadonis kol adam l'kav schus. That's the idea. You judge people favorably. Recognize that your wife or husband has a child. That's your spouse for many, many years. They cared for them. From birth on, there was a bonding that occurred there that's very, very strong. And as happy as parents are to see their children married, it's still a little bit of a loss of that relationship. And that's understandable to feel that way. There's the famous Medrash Rabbah in Parshas Truma that Hashem says to Klal Yisrael, I gave you my beloved daughter, which is the Torah. I cannot separate from her. Therefore, build me a dwelling place where I can be near her. Hashem is everywhere, whether there is a Beis HaMikdash or not, whether there's a Mishkan or not. But nevertheless, Hashem pointed out, I want a special closeness with Klal Yisrael, with the Torah, so make me a Mishkan. Same thing, the parents desire that closeness. It's understandable that they desire that closeness. And one needs to remember, if you have a wonderful wife and a wonderful husband, and you love them for the good qualities that they have, remember that parents raised them and raised them for you. To have a karsa toif to them and the respect that halacha requires you to have of them. And usually, kamayim panam al panam kelev adam la adam, just like water reflects one's image, the heart of one person reflects the heart of another person, mishlei perakov zayin pasuk yutes, that it will come back. You have warm feelings towards your in-laws, they will reciprocate and reflect that back on you. It's also important that parents very often consider their primary purpose in life to take care of their children. That's what we call empty nest syndrome, is an emotional state following a marriage of a youngest child. Some parents get depressed. They think of themselves as useless. They have no one to look for or to care for. They get enmeshed or try to invite over their kids, which is nothing wrong with, but not to the point of over-involvement. And this feeling is not as severe when there are still younger children at home, but each child leaving has an impact. The last child definitely has an impact. We talk about how marriages need to have a one-on-one relationship so that even when children leave the house, you have a unique relationship with your own spouse that lasts forever. That's very helpful in these situations. But the bottom line of all of this is that it's natural for parents to have difficulty letting go. But their reaction could be eased. There's a weaning off process. You don't cut them off. It's a gradual separation. You see younger couples. I remember when we were, me and my wife, the first few years of marriage, we did visit our parents more frequently than at first. And then it took a while to move away from that. And of course, you don't separate completely. You call, you visit, but in a healthy way with a proper frequency. But unfortunately, what happens is a husband and wife misinterprets their spouse's desire to be in contact with their parents as an indication that they consider the marriage relationship not satisfying or secondary. That is not a warranted conclusion. That's very often not true at all. There's a weaning process. Just as parents need weaning away from their child, the spouse, husband or wife, may need gradual weaning as well. It doesn't mean they don't believe that their marriage is a priority or that their wife or husband is a priority. It's their primary priority, more than the parents, but it takes a while. You know, especially in early months in a marriage, consulting parents is soothing and asking advice and so on and so forth, and to value their opinion, and you don't want to detach from them. That's normal. And not put a spouse in a conflict of loyalty, causing them to choose between a spouse and a parent. It's a needless tug of war. It's a destructive tug of war that just causes resentment. And here is the key. The Yesod HaDavar that Rutworsky says, never, ever make disparaging remarks about your in-laws, even as a joke. You may think it's funny. It'll be offensive to your spouse. Halacha requires that you respect not only one's parents, but your parents-in-law. Some people call them Ta and Ma, mother and father. People are uncomfortable. They may call them Shver and Shviger. Whatever they do that they call them, but not just first name. That's not Derech Eretz. And, you know, if a problem may arise when they're odds with their parents, it's also a problem. They may even say, I got married to get away from my parents. Here's the opposite situation. In other words, normally we're talking now about not to say something negative about your in-laws, but here's the key, is not to say negative about your own parents. You have issues with your own parents, and you use your spouse to vent against your parents. So one woman said, it gives my husband satisfaction to hear me vent against his parents. It enables him to vent his anger at them through me. But this is not good, by the way. This is not good for a couple's relationship. So if a wife was hurt by their mother, let's say, and the wife is expressing resentment towards her own mother, the wife should not enable that. The husband should not enable that. The husband should be sympathetic, but, or the same thing the other way around. If a husband has issues with his parents, the wife should encourage him to do whatever is necessary to resolve them, but not allow herself to be a vehicle for his dissatisfaction. She should not add fuel to the fire towards the resentment her husband has towards his parents. People have a blind spot towards their children, and they have that attitude against their children-in-law, not universal. But the truth is, even though the Gemara says that it, in natural tendency, mother-in-laws and daughter-in-laws, there could be a conflict there. The truth is Baruch Hashem, many, many, many mother-in-laws and daughter-in-laws have wonderful relationships. Now, however, there's issues that could create problems with it. So here's a story of where a woman is telling her friend about her married children. I don't have much nachas from my daughter-in-law, she said. She is spoiled. My Benny has to bring her breakfast in bed. She demands that he takes her out to expensive restaurants. And when they eat at home, he has to do the dishes. What kind of marriage did he get himself into? The friend says, is your daughter happily married? So she responds, thank God for my daughter, I have nachas. Her husband is an angel. You know, he brings her breakfast in bed. He takes her out to expensive restaurants, and when they eat at home, he does dishes for her. She's a lucky girl to have such a wonderful marriage. So these are two conflicting things within the same person. But you see here, though, that people have, as parents, this tendency not to fully appreciate that the couple is now a full unit. And may have a discussion with one of the spouses to the exclusion of the other, although the matter will affect both. Parents may make a critical remark to their child about their spouse. If that occurs, the husband or wife needs to say in a tone of voice that shows their acharis to their parents, "We listen to what you say, but we must do so together." Each partner must not allow the spouse to be torn between the loyalty between the marriage and the loyalty to the parents. Children should let their parents know that although marriage does result with a degree of separation from them, they love them very much. They can be counted to be there for them when the need arises. But if the parents damage the relationship with a couple by forcing either one of them to choose between them and their spouse, in other words, choose your husband or me, they tell them, the daughter, it has a negative impact on the relationship with the parents. You have this with in-laws, but sometimes you have this with brother-in-laws and sister-in-laws as well. They may not be as possessive as parents, but they also may react to siblings' marriage as if something was taken away from them. Especially if, let's say, if they're there's one brother-in-law and sister-in-law situation, and now another couple comes into the picture, so they're not the center of focus. So these are interesting dynamics. So you have a couple of brother-in-laws, and they sort of know that they feel insecure about how they are viewed by their father-in-law or sister-in-laws. The several of them where they feel insecure about how their mother-in-law feels about them, that may like one over the other and all of these type of things. It's very important to remove oneself as much as possible from these negative comparisons and things. Recognize each individual is special, and you love each one accordingly, and you do your best with each one accordingly, and appreciate all of them. So this is the idea. The in-law relationship, barring actual abuse or real unhealthiness, but if you're dealing with good people that are flawed, there's ways around it to make it very manageable and sometimes even very, very pleasant. Baruch Hashem, you have a lot of that. You have a lot of that too, and may that continue. This is really a key to Shalom Bayis, a key for Mashiach to come, to do that, to learn that, and to respect your husband's relatives, to respect your wife's relatives, their parents, their children, meaning your in-laws, your brother-in-laws, your sister-in-laws, and so on and so forth. But that is the idea. Not allow your own daughter or son to be torn between loyalty towards their spouse and yourselves. Allow them to have their own relationship flourish. Don't let empty nest syndrome or the fact that the child is not in the house anymore, even though it has a certain degree of pain, not to get depressed about it, not to get down about it, but to be grateful to Hashem for this progression in life and to appreciate this new unit that is there between your husband, between your son and his wife, between your daughter and her husband, with a shalom, with a ahava, and with a achva. Bracha v'atzlacha.